Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates here once again to chat about the beautiful game that is rugby union. I'm Tim. JB is right there.
Hello.
In a fetching Sam Burgess-esque bath vest.
Also trying to control the Facebook Live, which seems to have gone off. Brilliant. 12 minutes it took me to try and set this damn thing up.
Is it off?
Oh, is it back?
Is it back? Is it off?
I've got no idea, mate. I simply can't tell you.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's the first thing. One thing we can say is that you can, hopefully, watch this podcast if you're curious what the Rugby Dungeon looks like, what we look like, or see what's going on, then get involved. But we're going peak bath at the minute. Oh, because not only has JB got a vest on, Phil has got a match-fit shirt on.
This wasn't planned.
It wasn't, no. Just coincidence, because we've been so impressed by Bath's start to the season, I imagine.
How are they doing it?
Well, let's get into this in a minute, right? So we've got the domestic rugby to talk about, Pro 14 and Avicii Premiership. We've got the Rugby Championship games. There's some couple of great ones this weekend and a couple of names that might have been unfamiliar that we're definitely going to know plenty more about now and in the future. But I'm going to start with a quick game of Who Am I? JB versus Phil. Play along as you're listening. So, who am I? I'm 27 years of age, born on exactly the same day as Bath's Tom Homer. I'm scared of...
How is that a recognisable date?
Do you know what? I'm going to come clean as well. There's an amazing stats guru. Phil, you would love this guy. You'd get on so well with Aid from BT Sport. He's incredible. So I've just taken one of his biogs that he does for all the players for the commentary teams. And I've just basically pilfered that. I'm scared of flying and heights. I hate social media. Mm. I was once fourth in the English school's pole vault championships. I always enjoyed athletics. My personal best over 100 metres was 10.7
Johnny
seconds.
Johnny May!
It is, yeah. Johnny May! What twigged it for you?
10.7 seconds. Hates social media. He's a very complex man. And he's very athletic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was going to go on and say, if you didn't get it then, Johnny May was also on the books of Swindon Town as a teenager. Ooh. You'll like this one because you're Nick Kennedy's mum is an author, JB. Ooh. You'll like this one. Johnny May's dad, Pete, is a vet.
Is he?
Yeah.
Pete the vet.
27 England caps.
Hang on. He served in the Falklands or he plays with cows?
blah, blah, blah. Two tries on debut for his current club was going to be the next clue. Who he's recently joined. And finally, he's an expert scrummager known for his unnecessarily long cycling shorts.
Indeed.
You gone off?
I've just unplugged it from the stupid cable.
Hit pause on the pod.
Okay, hit.
JB wins the game of Who Am I there? Right, let's chuck a quick agenda in. Obviously, we're going to talk about the rugby that was played over the weekend. I would also like to... I'm just going to chuck it onto our agenda at some point. Scrummaging or lack of.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Me and JB might be on par with this one. Anything else anyone would like to chuck in, more like general points?
No, not really. I mean, here's the problem. I've watched so much rugby this weekend, I've watched none. Does that make sense? When you watch so much stuff...
Yeah.
You don't... I mean, we can talk about Sale Sharks for a bit if you want. But that's it. I mean, I literally can't. I've watched Sale. I've watched both the Championship games. I've watched every game on Saturday, including the Ospreys game, and I've watched the game today. And I literally can't remember any of it. And I've seen the highlights. I don't know what happened. Too much rugby.
Phil, what was your sort of big highlight of the weekend then, or your moment or game or highlight or performance, whatever?
Performance has to be Bath. Hence why me and JB are wearing the Bath shirts.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I think we'd written them off a little bit at the start of the
Completely.
Season.
Completely. It can't last.
Well, see, I think it can last because it's built on solid foundations.
Which are...
So their set piece was very good.
Yep.
Against Saracens, your set piece will come under all sorts of pressure. And indeed against Leicester. And they've coped with it all very well. And their defence has been superb. Just everyone committed, organised, conditioned. And that's what it's based on. It's also... So if we wrote off Bath, we probably also certainly wrote off Reece Priestland, who has been one of their best players in these two games and has done the right things at the right times. And by that, I mean he's kicked, he's played sensibly, mm-hmm. he's played in the right parts of the pitch, and he's taken points when they're available, including drop goals against Saracens.
I did feel sorry for him last year when he was only getting the odd 5 minutes here, 10 minutes
yeah.
there.
Yeah, but he was like...
That's been, I think, the best part of the situation with Bath having Freddie Burns rather than George Ford is now Reece Priestland is going to know if he plays well, he's going to get plenty of rugby, and he will get his fair share of games. I think it's great.
Do you know what? It's weird because Reece Priestland allegedly was Bath's highest paid player for a little while, or he's right up there, number three or four. Do you remember? Well, I'm sure this is said about Manchester United, but it's definitely said about the New England Patriots when they started like getting rid of all their best players. And New England Patriots do this all the time, but United did it with Van Nistelrooy, just got rid.
They did it with David Beckham as well when he's still in his prime.
Yeah, and at the time they said, well, you just get rid of one player, but everyone else has to step up and get 5% better and make up for the loss. And that's almost like how I think about Bath now. They've got rid of George Ford, and it seems like they've had the last laugh here massively. George Ford was missing kicks
early
this week,
days.
Last week.
It is
well,
early
that's
days.
Exactly as I started with. This can't last. It simply can't, can it? But if you want to
talk about last laugh, let's just look at the table and go Leicester played 2, lost 2.
Yep.
Richard Cockerell's Edinburgh played 2, won 2.
Yeah. Well, doesn't it feel like they could do with a little bit of Cockerell, how can I say, Cockerell inspiration, because that pack is so flat.
So what, before we get into that, as it was Phil's pick of the week, any other thoughts on Bath?
Well, a couple of things. So, really impressed with their pack, as I've said. Their back row, Francois Lowe, Faletau, and Matt Garvey, who is leading that team tremendously. And also, Rocco. So, Rocco has been already one of the best players in the league, and there's already calls for him to be in whatever England squad Eddie Jones picks next.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you guys stand on this?
Well, last week we were having the same discussion about Dan Robson.
Yeah.
Saying it's quite amazing. And yeah, when Marlon Yard gets repeatedly picked in Eddie Jones's England squad, there must be something that we can't see as kind of rugby fans. And we know a little bit, but not obviously not Eddie Jones. He clearly knows more than we do, because I don't understand.
It's not that obvious.
I don't understand Marlon Yard being in the England squad repeatedly and Rocco not.
So based on last season... 100% agree. This season, so far, Yard has done everything right. He's played good, looked dangerous. He's making yards, he's scoring tries, he's beating players. So I've got no issue necessarily with Marlon Yard being in if there is an England squad called tomorrow.
What is that? Oh, is
that's, it? Sorry, it's me just checking the Facebook live.
Thank God.
Go on.
Rocco, though, last year... I definitely would have had him, 100%. And this year, I probably still would have him. I think I see what Eddie Jones sees as a weakness, though.
So what you're saying is, to paraphrase, you and Eddie Jones know the same amount about rugby. That's what you're saying.
No, definitely not.
Well, do you know what? So I'll say it. I know equally as much. here's where I stand. I actually think some of these players look much different in different teams. And the guy that's made me change my mind on this is Johnny May, because I could never understand for the life of me why Johnny May would get in an England team. Since going to Leicester, he's been bloody brilliant. He's the only thing good about all of Leicester.
And that's a very poorly performing Leicester as well.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's genuinely amazing. Now, I never really saw that in Gloucester. Maybe Gloucester fans will tell me differently. And you can only assume that when Yard goes to England camp, it's the same sort of effect.
Possibly, yeah. But to go back to Rocco, the thing that is missing, in my opinion, it is his defence.
Mm.
And I think his attack is wonderful, incredible. The two tries he scored were sublime, particularly the first one.
But Denis Solomon is in the England squad.
Yeah, I'd have Rocco ahead of him.
Tell me the logic there then.
Well, you tell me if I'm wrong, but is this England squad not a hangover from the summer? Or is it a brand new England squad?
Well, no, it will always be a hangover from the last one. So there will always be, this was the last one, who's out and who's in.
Yeah, so when the new one gets called in, I'd be amazed if Denny's still in there. Amazed.
So would I, to be honest.
Yes.
But he was, so there was the England squad for Argentina where he missed three tackles that cost two tries, but then scored the wonder try that won the I can't remember if it was first or second test. But the one after that, he was still included, but then he's had his late night drinking session with Manu. So yeah, I would be surprised if he was in. He's not exactly tearing up trees at the moment in the league. So
well, that's the one silver lining for Denny. If he isn't involved in international rugby and he has the odd weekend off, Manu definitely needs some company about now.
Poor Manu.
Poor Manu.
How did this happen? Well, we know how it happened, don't we?
Oh, I don't know. I've got no other reason than just rumour, but apparently it's meant to have happened in the first minute of that game.
I heard the first few minutes, yeah.
Imagine if it went off in the first few minutes. Imagine. So we had a disagreement about this, didn't we, Tim? And I've been saying this since maybe the summer, that their biggest loss might well be Jack Roberts. Not because he's an amazing player, but because he was available. And now they are going to go with Matt Smith, who is a good player. But then after that, who is there?
Well, Jack Roberts is an inside centre, mainly.
Yeah,
and
but
he's and he's a solid club player, but I don't particularly want to dedicate any time on the podcast to
Jack Roberts.
To a player like Jack Roberts.
I do not want to talk about
Jack
Roberts.
There's so many incredible players and performances that we could talk about. We're talking about an average squad
member. No. What we're talking about.
What we're talking about is JB reaffirming the point that he made 3 months ago to prove that he was right.
No. It is an important point that the Leicester first 15 are excellent. And then beneath that, the depth is not there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And this is why they won't make top four. Also, they've got their first 15 out and they're still not winning. So what are they going to be like with their second 15? If you do a second 15 and you look at that back line, it's not particularly good.
An amazing stat by Alex Lowe, who also did a brilliant article in the Times this week about scrummaging, which we will get onto.
Mm.
He said, when Manu returns in December... See, Alex has got a faith that it'll be December. When Manu returns in December, Leicester will have spent over £1 million on a Tamua Tuilagi partnership that will have played once in 14 months.
Amazing.
Ooh. Ouch.
Ooh. Simply amazing.
Yeah.
So I always look at the example of the NFL, where one of the most important things is, are you fit enough to play? Are you healthy? Do you have a good record of injuries?
Yep.
Which sounds like stupid for things like broken legs. But actually, you know, like soft tissue damage, tendons, that sort of thing, there is something in it. Some guys are just more injury prone than others.
Well, I was looking into like really injury prone players, and I'd forgotten how injury prone Sam Warburton was not so long ago. He seems to have put that behind him, doesn't he?
I don't think he has, actually.
He seems to... The difference is he times it right.
Yeah, like Tom Croft.
So, well, Tom Croft going back a while.
Well, no, he's on his four-year cycle now, isn't he?
next Lions tour.
Next Lions tour.
He does time it right now because he'd hardly played for Cardiff. I think I'm right in saying this. He played a bit in the Six Nations and then he hardly played again. And he had to actually get fit for the Lions. So he missed the first game and then started getting his match fitness back in the midweek games.
Mm.
Johnny Wilkinson is the
the
closest you can think of. It was just one thing after another with him in the way that it is with Manu.
Well, can I just go back to the example of Sam Warburton? Sam Warburton does play. Actually, he did play quite a bit for Cardiff last year, but traditionally he hasn't played that many games. And because he's on a central contract, he gets, you know, better looked after, well rested. For the Lions and for Wales, it's worth it. But there is a bit of me that thinks if he retires, say in 3 years' time, and his greatest club achievement is what exactly?
Top six finish.
Ridiculous. I mean, I would love for him to leave Wales and go play for Bath or someone. Well, not Bath, or, you know, someone who's a real challenger for the European Cup, to see how good he is in the meat grinder of both the Aviva or France and the European Cup. But he simply wouldn't last.
I think Leicester, if we should just have like a mercy rule on Manu, just like, do you know what?
Shoot him like a vet would. Put up a screen.
No, like, just say Manu. Just, you need Eddie Jones to say, Manu, mate, it's not going to happen this side of the World Cup. Get yourself off to Toulon. Drink whatever Johnny Wilkinson was drinking, the water down there. Go and get a Juan Smith. Go and get a bit of that in you and come back after 2019 and we'll talk.
Yeah, do you know, the lads in Toulon don't even get the opportunity to have physio twice a day. Because the squad is so big and they have so few physios. They simply just don't employ any.
I think you might be right on Manu, Tim. And I think this is the straw that broke... It will be the straw that broke the camel's back for Leicester as well. I think when Manu's new contract is up, they might say... The rumour has it was 425k last time around.
Rumour has it Worcester were willing to pay significantly more than that.
So, to Leicester, given that Leicester know his track record, how much they've spent on him for so little time, he would only now be worth, say, half that to them.
And by the way, look at the bodies which have been left by the wayside. I mean, Manu Tuilagi not being available for the World Cup probably didn't help Stuart Lancaster tremendously.
Yeah.
It didn't help Richard Cockerell tremendously.
Yeah.
It didn't help, what's his face?
Aaron Major
that much.
Yeah.
You know, the two fly halves have gone. Yeah, there's a lot of bodies been left because he can't manage his own body, or it's not particularly robust, should I say.
Don't forget the bodies from the 2011 World Cup when Manu jumped off a ferry. There was a load of, not only the coaching staff, but playing staff never played for England again.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. By the way, the ferry thing, he's completely innocent.
Yeah, completely innocent.
I love that.
I do as well.
Yeah, agreed.
I want to hear about players doing that. Interesting. I missed, speaking of that, in terms of stories, what someone who made their Premiership bow this weekend, Liam Williams, off the back of a top Lions series. There was an article that I missed on him that I've just caught up with over the weekend, where, well, it's just, he seems like quite an interesting fella. So I didn't know he had a stammer.
All the best guys do, mate.
I didn't know that either.
No, he, are you sure?
I've never heard him speak.
He hates doing television.
Yeah,
he wishes he could because, you know, it would be better for his profile. But actually, he says I just like rugby anyway, so that's not the problem. Basically, he said the one reason he'd like to sort his stammer out is so that he could be more, speak more on stuff, so that he could get blag himself new Range Rovers like other rugby people do.
Wise.
he says it was when he's moved to London now, he said it was quite daunting because he's only ever lived in Swansea and he lived with his mum and dad and then moved to a house 300 yards up the road from his mum and dad. And now he's living in the bright lights of London.
Bloody hell. This is kind of one of the reasons I think Welsh rugby doesn't work so well, because I always thought about Barcelona Football Club when they were rubbish. And I thought, like, they're rubbish because the players go there like, yeah, we've made it. There's nothing further to do here. I'm going to go to the beach, get hammered and put in an average performance. I always felt with Welsh rugby, once they made the Welsh team, that was basically it. There was no more room for improvement and you were surrounded and you were treated like a god.
Everyone knows who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the best thing for Welsh players is to get out of Wales immediately and go and play in the Premiership and then come back when you know what it takes.
He also said, did you know about Liam Williams' tattoo?
Nope.
I had no idea about this. This was in this article as well. He has a name that he had tattooed on him.
I feel I do know this.
And it's the name of Stephen Shingler's mum.
Did not know that.
What?
there was a holiday to Iron Apple with Stephen Shingler and a bunch of other boys. And some of the rest of the guys were having their girlfriends' names tattooed on their backsides. And he had Stephen Shingler's mum's name tattooed on him instead.
I hope Stephen Shingler's mum has got a really unique Welsh name, like Ailis or something.
I can't remember. I did write it down. I'll get that. Anyway, I've digressed.
Yona.
Stephen
Biddig, something like that.
Yeah.
So which you can't... Oh, no, it's someone else.
Liam Williams.
Mum's tattoo name. No, not that one. Not that search.
The third thing, on the thing I just searched, the third item, it was two about this tattoo. The third thing was Schindler's List. I don't know how.
Schindler's
That's what he has tattooed on his arse. Were we talking rugby?
We were talking about, but he's a scaffolder, isn't he?
He is.
Trying to find the name of his mum. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Mrs. Shingler. Maybe
I'll,
says
I'll
Mrs.
get back
Shingler.
To you. I'll get back yeah. to you. I'll get back to you.
So that's interesting because Jeanette Shingler.
Jeanette Shingler. He's got Jeanette on his back on his on him.
So that's got to be up there with the worst rugby players' tattoos, alongside
the Banahan.
The Banahan
brothers.
Yep, with the Spitfires. On
Smiths and Mustangs and whatever else is on it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cannonball. Maybe it isn't. Who knows?
No, I think we speculated that at one stage when we didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So the two brothers have individual tattoos that put together make one scene.
Scaysbrook. Is it Scaysbrook?
With the stars on his elbows.
I hate stars and elbows. Him and Gareth Hock have the same tattoo artist.
If you got anything in common with Gareth Hock, you've done something wrong.
Scaysbrook bought a painting off my missus once.
Really?
Yeah, when we were living in Bath.
Mm, there you go.
Oh, he can't be that bad then.
No, he's obviously got some taste artistically.
Then Cubby Boy has to be one of the worst tattoos.
Yeah, that's quite impressive, isn't it? And again, that was done on a island holiday.
For anyone that doesn't know,
James Davis.
Yeah.
JD's brother, not JD2, just JD.
We call
now.
Him JD now, after the Lions.
His brother and Olympic silver medalist,
yep.
And Scarlett's back row has got Cubby, C-U-B-Y, C-U-B-B-Y, across all of his right hand and the first knuckle of his left hand.
It's unreal.
B-O-I on his left.
Fair enough.
Excuse me.
Wow.
There must be some other bad ones as well.
Yeah, let us know if worst rugby tattoos that you can see, or just notable rugby tattoos at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, Facebook as well.
Oh, I do know that Marla was called Fish in Harlequins because he's got a massive koi carp on his arm.
Koi carp, nice. Yeah. Interesting.
Lovely.
Right.
Well, while we're talking about just kind of... it's not the same. It's not the same. I was trying to do a really smooth segue, but I'm not going to be able to. I was going to do something about grooming, but it's not about grooming. All I'm going to say is...
What?
Don't worry. This is weird. I'm going to just do two bits of business. One, we're very sorry about last week. As you can see, we're all here, present and correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're on it. Secondly, it's the fact that you two are going to Philadelphia next week, so we're going to have some very, very special podcast content.
Can't wait.
And thirdly, get yourself a Cornerstone razor.
Exactly.
You can get yourself an absolute bargain on this. Now, we go on about it. If you want to try it and see what we're talking about, then you have an amazing deal. So, Cornerstone, in our opinion, best razors on the market, bar none. It's a mail-order razor, comes in a beautiful presentation box. You can get a free aluminium shaft engraved with your initials. You can get 6 razors for £4. All of that delivered to you with no obligation to continue, but we think you'll love it so much that you will want to continue. But that is your choice and your call. But a free aluminium shaft, 6 razors, £4 to give it a go. All you need to do is go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or...
Egg10 at checkout.
JB, highlight of the week from you then.
Has to be the resurgent Northampton.
Yes, I suppose it's segueing on from Leicester's issues, of which there are a number.
We spoke about Leicester's issues. Let's talk about the positives from Northampton from this week.
It was amazing. It was such an amazing comeback. And it raises so many questions for me. Are Bath really, really good? Are Leicester really, really terrible? And are Northampton nowhere near as bad as we thought they were?
I think all of those, to a degree, are probably correct.
Now, JB and I were completely waxing lyrical about the Avicii Premiership last week. I think rightly so. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing first weekend. I do think we have to temper that slightly in terms of the overall quality, because as you say, we don't quite know yet. And we did say, let's wait 6 weeks and see how these law variations are going. Let's wait 6 weeks and see where we think it's at. But it was a very, very different weekend this weekend. There was some very average performances by comparison.
There was from both teams and individuals. I mean, the points per team dropped from more than 30, which is quite remarkable, to less than 20, which is probably back to where it normally is.
But it could just be a matchup thing. You know, you could have the worst teams playing against some of the best teams, scoring a load of points like the Sale Wasps game, and then the best team kind of switching off and getting a load of rubbish tries at the end.
In terms of positive, you know? In terms of positive things, we've always known Courtney Laws is a destructive defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a proper ball carrier now.
Yeah, he's quality. Yeah. He's all round quality.
He was busting holes in that Leicester defence.
And credit where it's due, Hartley played really well. I mean, he played like an actual leader. I don't know if that's because he's got the Northampton captaincy back this year. But he looked absolutely brilliant.
Well, they definitely looked like... It was definitely the sort of reaction... If you were a Northampton fan and you went to Twickenham and watched that, and then you went to Franklin's Gardens, you would be expecting some kind of reaction. And they came out like they knew how bad they'd been. Yeah. And so fair play on that front. They and Dylan Hartley after the game said, you know, we demanded a reaction. We shouldn't have had to have been in the situation of needing to give a reaction, but and I agree, he was also Rob Horn and Rob Horn into the side made a big difference.
George North, in fairness to
George
him.
North, yep. Made a big difference.
Yeah. Luther Burrell had a great game.
Big Luth,
and those three are quite big backs, and their ball carrying was really impressive. And I do think Leicester was soft. We said it before, Leicester was soft defensively right across the line. But Northampton's big ball carriers were punching holes consistently, consistently making yards.
Now, the biggest surprise for me is George North, because through the grapevine, I've heard lots of negative things about how he's enjoying it at Northampton, how he's training. Last week, he was at Sale Jets playing there as allegedly a punishment. I mean, this is... Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is pure speculation and rumour. So for him to come back and play so well... is quite impressive, actually, particularly after they sent him off to Hayward Road for a quick game.
Well, yeah, a trip to Sale, especially to face the Jets, is a real punishment. So it's obviously taking his medicine there.
Yeah, he played against, I think he's on the opposite wing to an 18-year-old, and on the other wing was Josh Charnley. So yeah, if you were lucky enough last week, you could have gone to Sale Jets and watched George North, Peter Horn, what's Cobus Ryan?
Rob Horn. Cobus
Reinach.
Reinach.
South
African international scrum half.
They took an absolutely stacked side, and on Sale Jets sailing, they had a few 18-year-olds.
Is it Dominic Ryan? I've just brain farted the Leicester six.
Right. Okay.
Dominic Ryan.
Yes.
Dominic. Anyone else think that he should have had a HIA in this one? It was another one of those scenarios where he looked like he was out on contact.
So I've only seen the highlights, and this wasn't shown. So you were there at the game, Tim.
I've heard some interesting stuff about the concussion protocol, particularly Leicester's. Apparently, it's hard. It's quite hard for Leicester to check. Something to do with where the medical room is.
Well, look, because this was at Franklin's Gardens, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, so it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good point. Yeah, well, I guess if the law says he should come off, he should come off, and that'll be that.
So he didn't... So, Tim, talk us through what actually happened.
Oh, so he was doing a covering tackle on George North... got his head the wrong side, so it was, rather than his head being behind George North on his backside, okay, it was in front on his hip as George North's leg was on the rise, and he slid off and slid into touch. His arms were down by his side. He had, again, I'm being careful what I say because I'm not...
Yeah.
He looked like he may have been out momentarily.
The thing is,
and then behaved in a way that looked like a concussed man may behave.
Now, if you think that, I think the chances are that's probably exactly what happened. Because yeah. I don't understand how you'd have additional training to spot these symptoms.
Yeah, so this kind of stuff has to stop. So they're continually adapting the protocol to try and ensure that this never happens, but it is still happening. So something else needs to be done.
Mm. Well, if the television match official has it in their jurisdiction to sort of say, ref, I think you should have a look at this, yeah, then I don't know whether they do or not. I assume they have that in their armoury.
Or even one of the producers or someone. Because, like you're just saying, Tim, I don't think it's... Like, all of us know what concussion symptoms look like.
Yeah.
All of us, and virtually everyone, because Twitter always blows up when it happens.
Just watch Twitter, you'll soon find out.
Yeah, but there's so many people who know enough to make that call, but it's still not happening, that we've got to have an extra layer. There's got to be someone else involved.
It just needs to be enforced properly, because they've already got a layer. They've already got doctors. I mean, we can't have doctors watching doctors, and then people regulating the doctors who are watching the doctors.
The problem is that the doctors aren't getting they're clearly not getting the camera angles to have the information.
Yeah.
That's obviously the problem. So whether the actual...
Terrible Wi-Fi is not connecting to their iPad. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that is actually...
It might be. But whatever's happening, it's not catching it. So whether it is just the doctors get their own control of all the camera angles... Or there's another person.
I think you're looking at this through the wrong end of the telescope.
Why?
Well, because the problem with concussions is it looks bad for the game, and also it's detrimental to players. But let's just go with the aspect that I'm talking about. It looks bad for the game. If a player is concussed, the protocol should be it doesn't go back on the TV screens, because then Twitter can't complain, and we can all move on happily.
In any case, the medical teams or physios or whatever spoke with the player, and the Leicester said that... he was winded.
Makes sense.
And
there again, Neil, if you were winded, Tim, and this is a serious point.
I've been winded many times. It's horrible.
It is horrible.
Like, you had a knock to the head and you got winded horribly and you were trying to get up, and me and Phil were watching, we'd probably say you were concussed.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, if you twist your ankle, you're trying to get, he's walking a bit funny. You know, and maybe we're just looking at things.
If walking funny was the criteria for going off for an HIA, Liam Williams wouldn't play rugby.
Did you read that in his interview about his legs?
He said...
Oh, it sounds horrible.
He said that he went to a specialist about getting them straightened, and they said they'd need to be broken, but the risk was he might never be able to play rugby again. So, funnily enough, he said, you're all right.
I'll leave it, thanks.
And by the way, how good would he be with normal legs? I mean, is the implication that he'd be better? Well, because he's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It might be an advantage. There might be people now taking the risk to break their legs and bend them in the wrong way.
Yeah, and the risk is you can
only
play rugby.
Not eat vitamin C. Get me a bit of that scurvy. Let me sit on a horse for the whole of my summer holiday. That'll be pre-seasonal, just be putting wingers on horses. Right.
So, yeah, well done, Northampton.
Well done, Northampton.
Very
great
good.
Great reaction.
And very good.
I suppose it does go to show that anyone can beat anyone.
Yeah, just on the players potentially being called up by England. I know we spoke about wingers and there are a lot in contention. Because Daly, Noel, Watson, I think undoubtedly, then Johnny May. And you're kind of fighting for fifth place, which Rocco, Yard. But just another name to put in that hat, Ollie Woodburn.
Yes, absolutely.
Damn right.
I think he is... class.
He's getting better and better as well, isn't he?
Yeah, and something that he has in abundance is his work rate.
Yeah.
His work rate is brilliant.
Yeah, he's one of those players that kind of makes his own luck. So he got very lucky last week, didn't he, when he ripped that ball?
Yeah.
But actually, that wasn't lucky. He's just in those situations so often.
Yeah,
because he works so hard, and eventually one comes off.
Yeah.
Bath could have Rocco and Woodburn still.
And Devoto. Well,
yeah, they could do, but... They're doing all right at the moment.
They are, that's for sure.
Did anyone see the Exeter game?
Again, extended highlights.
It just looked like Exeter being Exeter, to be honest.
Right, well,
dominant pack.
Yeah.
Backs clinical when they need it.
Training ground move for the first try, lovely. Line out off the top, fly half Steenson, miss one inside, Sam Simmons on the charge, outside ball to Henry Slade. Beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Loved it.
That was lovely. Yeah, it was Exeter being Exeter. Very clinical pack. Don Armand, again, another one, put his hand up for England, scored two tries. Just so many big physical forwards and clinical, such, skillful backs.
Such a well-built team.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well-built, professional, and built by an expert too, like a master builder.
We can maybe, well, I'll just very briefly get into one other game, then I'm just going to take us to Rugby Championship. We can return to some domestic rugby Pro 14.
Go for it.
But I just want to play a highlight from Sail Sharks versus Newcastle Falcons.
What, have you found one?
Full time. That was the highlight of that game. Whee!
lads, bounce.
Possibly the least entertaining game there's been I can remember. Well, especially what's so annoying is it kicked off a brand new weekend, yeah, having us after we'd waxed Lyrical, the greatest domestic competition, yep, in the world.
So there were interesting parts about this, I think, but more like the negative storylines in a soap opera. Interesting.
Okay.
Like Cam Neill. I mean, did you hear what Steve Diamond said about Cam Neill before half time?
I was the one holding. Well, yes.
Jeez. Yes. I mean, that is harsh.
So 20 minutes into the game, the lineouts weren't going well for Sail Sharks.
No.
And Ali Eakin was the commentator, and he did a little quick chat with Steve Diamond, who was watching from the stands. And can you remember what he said, James?
Yeah, he basically said if he does that again, he'll be coming off. He had an HIA shortly after. And then...
It was a stitch in his head, actually.
Yep. Oh, yes, bloody. It was, because he was bleeding for some time. Yeah. Then they decided he needed the stitch.
Yeah.
Then Steve Diamond finished with, hasn't happened to us for years, conveniently washed his hands of the entire situation, completely ignoring the fact that Bryn Evans wasn't available, who's the line-out captain. I think you've mentioned that they've got some deficiencies in their pack from players who were previously very good. And the calls were horrible too. Just from a line-out point of view, if your hooker's struggling, don't go to the front. Because guess where they're going to go? The front. The defence know you're going to the front. If your line-out's struggling and you've got a professional player, throw it to the back.
Yeah, Camille didn't have a great time. But Mark Jones, when he came on, also wasn't that great. And I would say we were talking about people putting their hands up for England selection. The guy, Josh Beaumont.
Where is he?
I know. Well, it's a bit worrying where he's at compared to where he was 2 years ago.
Well, do you know, I think it's about him. When he makes the most impact, it's when he's got ball in hand. And he makes impact because he's so unusual, and the way he runs is just so unorthodox. When you're asking him to be like a Joe Launchbury, it's not going to happen, because Joe Launchbury's so much better than him at being Joe Launchbury. He's got to play to his strengths, and his strengths aren't standing at lock. They're playing at eight. He just is playing at lock because he looks like one. But, well, he's not.
Yeah, that was evident. And the line-out, they failed with 10 line-outs.
It was abysmal.
10 line-outs.
Well, they had
unbelievable.
Eight. They failed on eight before, well, within 40 minutes.
Ugh.
So it tells you everything. And when poor old John O'Ross had to throw into the line, had no idea what was going on.
that was a weird thing. So they were, what was the situation? Were they 7 points up? No, they were 4 points up or 6 points. They were 6 points up, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Sale was 6 points up with a penalty in a difficult but still kickable position with their hooker in the sin bin. So no one to throw into a line-out.
And they went for the
corner. And they kicked for the corner.
Ooh.
Yes, they did, didn't they? You're right. And they went for the front man. They went for the front man option.
Yeah. It just...
There's so much going on here. First of all, it feels like the team has been picked as if someone's playing Championship Manager, right? They're just swapping cards of, like, big-name players. Like, yeah, he'll fit in. Bearing in mind that this is a really detailed, really detailed way of attacking that they play. Faf de Klerk is playing a different game to everyone else. Regardless of what anyone else did, he was class. The problem is, he's playing a different game to AJ McGinty. AJ McGinty's more confused by Faf de Klerk than the Newcastle defence.
Yeah, Newcastle defence can't read him, but no. Neither can his own team.
He shouldn't play, right, until the rest of the team are good enough, or Sale have sufficiently dulled him down that he can that he can play for Sale. Until that point, play Wilcliffe, because he's better suited to that system. Faf de Klerk is an amazing, amazing talent, though.
But everyone needs to be tuned in to exactly what he does, yeah, and they're clearly not.
And let's not just talk about Sale. Takalua was awesome.
Yep. Takalua was awesome, definitely.
The guts of that Newcastle team to dig in for that long. I mean, it was a horrible game.
Yeah, can I just make this point about Newcastle? Newcastle have recruited...
Another one of the worst kits in the Premiership, that change
so,
kit.
So bad.
Disgusting.
So bad, it's not even got a sponsor. So I reckon they went around like all the big big firms in the North East, whoever they are. And
because they have a main shirt sponsor for their home kit.
Yeah, yeah. And I reckon they mocked up the shirt and they went, why is it on the training kit? And like, oh, no, this is the actual kit. Like, yeah. Absolutely no chance.
No, because they've got a shirt sponsor. I think the shirt sponsor said, no, I'd rather not be on that shirt. So we'll just be on the black one.
Maybe they
games.
Paid them money not to put it on the shirt. That's what I suspect has happened.
Genius little market ploy there from Newcastle.
Yeah, because the only other team that did this was Barcelona in their pomp. Two Barcelona mentions today. Well, Newcastle Falcons away shirt isn't the Barcelona home shirt. So it's just it's a horrendous piece of kit.
It is.
But the thing about Newcastle is they have recruited... at least as well as Sale, if not maybe better in some respects.
Well, we haven't seen their signings yet.
Well, yeah, and I wonder if there's something to be taken from that, which is continuity and evolution is better than just this revolution.
You said it last week, and I think it's a really interesting point. That said, I'm really looking forward to seeing Toby Flood, DTH,
yeah,
and co.
Mm. Yeah, and Maxime Mamoz.
Yeah, and one last thing on Sale. The spine of that team is completely changed from what finished last year. Think about how important these positions are. Hooker, eight, scrum half.
Yeah.
Completely different. And it's no wonder what happened on Friday happened.
Agreed.
They've got work to do. Someone that's now made himself a household name with a lot of rugby fans. Fantastic New Zealand back row player. Fifita.
Via Fifita.
Yeah, it was quite impressive, wasn't it?
Quite impressive.
Yeah, it's reasonable. It's good. Very good.
What a way to like fully announce yourself.
I'm going to be honest, I've never heard of the guy.
Exactly.
Canes, my beloved Canes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lock or back row.
He gassed a winger.
Yeah.
Like, didn't just run through him, stepped and ran around him.
Doesn't this happen quite often to wingers, though? And what I mean by that is, wingers are fast, but they also have rapid acceleration. Whereas second rowers can be really fast, like much faster than
blindside.
But they, yeah. But he's a big. What is he like? 6'4" or something? He's a big old boy.
Six seven.
Yeah. He has played second row for the Canes.
Basically, tall men, right?
Yeah,
can run even faster on occasions, but they don't have the rapid acceleration.
Yeah.
So when they you do see it surprisingly often, like Tom Croft galloping down the wing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some really interesting stats on the weight of New Zealand internationals.
Go on.
From 2012 to now, and over that 5-year period, just how they've strategically increased weights, and they now have Steve Hansen talks about players in weight like categories. They need to be this weight. So locks, Steve Hansen said, our locks are 119 or 120 kgs. He's like that specific.
He said
Scott Barrett is a little lighter than that, but he'll end up being that weight. It's a big ask at scrum time in an international scrum to be that light. Fifita's weight. Fifita is 113 kilos. This is why he's saying Fifita is not a lock and he won't be a lock because he's 113 kgs and that's too light. And you'll never say he'll never go there, but we want him first and foremost as a loose forward.
Well, that's interesting because when I was up in Glasgow, I was looking at their boards, like, you know, the stuff they do, and they do like speed day, they do strength day, so on and so forth. They actually do a bulking day just to get bigger.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised they just have it as one day.
Not a day, but like there's charts, so workout. One for strength, one for power.
Right, okay.
So I said day. I don't know if it's daily or like weekly or what.
Hypertrophy and mass day.
So. Yeah. And I was like, well, why do you want to do that? Well, just want to get bigger.
Ardi Surveyor was 95 kgs when he first toured with the All Blacks. He's now 103, but he's working to get to 106. And they explain, it's not size for size's sake. Kane, Surveyor, Coles and Retallick in the pack have all increased their weight without losing any mobility, speed or endurance. So they're working.
That sounds impossible.
They're working. Well, they're doing
not,
it. They're working with every athlete to find a sweet spot where they can upsize without compromising their ability to do their core role, which is why they've obviously a lot of science going into this, going,
yeah,
you cannot do the core role of a lock at 113 kgs. You need to be 120. And you cannot perform the core roles of a blindside if you're as big as 120 kgs.
Do you know what? This sounds dangerously prescriptive to me. But you know, if what they say is true...
I suppose they've got so many players to pick from.
Yeah, for certain positions, I'm thinking more tight five forwards.
Mm.
I think for those positions, just because of the importance of the scrum, or certainly the historic importance of the scrum, if we come on to your point slightly later, Tim, I think they can't, and I'm not seeing from, if you look at their back line, for example, they had probably one of the lightest back threes that New Zealand have fielded in years and years and years. They had Dagg, Milner Scudder, who are not big men, and Damien McKenzie, who is about 78 kg.
D-Mac not kicking, by the way, because he has a strain in his leg. He will be kicking because Beauden Barrett, Steve Hansen's, I actually quite like how honest he is. He said, Beauden Barrett, the thing is, he'll nail them all or he'll miss three or four.
Yeah.
And he just had a bad day at the office against Argentina again.
Yeah, he was 100% missed.
Yep.
Oh, my word.
Took three missed.
That's
three.
Amazing that he doesn't, I mean, he must practice. But he mustn't practice that hard.
So he took three, missed three. They were tough kicks, first three tries from out wide. He then got yellow carded. So he's having a real bad day in the office. Then Sopoanga came on for Dagg. And after that, Beauden Barrett wasn't kicking. Sopoanga was. He was slotting them. He missed one or two, but slotted several. And Beauden Barrett scores a nice try late on. So you're still getting the benefit of Beauden Barrett, but it's better if you've got another kicker on the park.
And Steve Hansen has already named his scrum half for the South Africa game. He said, no, it's going to be Aaron Smith because he speeds the game up loads. We need it to be quicker. I thought it was quite interesting that Argentina, we talk about there being them champagne playboys from South America. They played a very, very old school Argentina, loads of box kicking, getting up in your face, and it rattled New Zealand. It was only in the last 10 minutes where New Zealand actually won the game. They were behind.
Yeah, they were. They were behind until 15, 17 minutes. And by the way,
the Argentines were so aggressive. I mean, just before they broke, I think it was D-Mac in the corner, actually, who got a try. Just the physicality in defence was immense. On their own try line. It's a little bit like Wales, you know, that 4-minute stint, except they lasted a lot shorter period and they conceded. But it was that sort of physicality. It was really impressive.
It was. It was a bit. It reminded me of the Argentina win against France in that World Cup opener. Was it 2007?
When they just kicked it in the air.
They just
love that.
Juan Martin Hernandez.
Non-stop.
I'm surprised he didn't ban that tactic after that, because it's like asymmetric warfare where you use something which no one else expects and you get great benefit from something else.
They have evolved their game a little bit, but a few years ago people would have said, well, no, Mark McCall was watching that day and just planning his blueprint for his coaching.
That's interesting.
There was a time where Saracens were just kicking it constantly up and unders, weren't they?
Yeah.
But I do have to say, one complaint I've got to New Zealand, they're still playing awful songs at their stadiums. Party Rock Anthem is still relevant in New Zealand.
Quite like that song. You missed the big news out of Argentina, out of New Zealand this week.
Go on.
Stupid report.
Oh, go on, JB, let rip on this.
Well, you tell me what you think first, Tim.
So the report is, how would you go on, summarise the report?
I mean, it's hard, isn't it?
It's quite hard to summarise.
I mean, what is it? I mean, what is this report? It's something to do with respect and values and buzzwords. It's to do with buzzwords and good buzzwords in sports. So it's conducted by the great and the good. They've assembled a panel. Now, fundamentally, this has come about because Aaron Smith likes women. This is horrendous.
Aaron Smith likes women.
I mean, how dare he... of course he's married or got a partner or something. But how dare he like women? And furthermore, how dare New Zealand rugby players, men, enjoy the company of women? And they drink. And apparently, in some of the... Yeah, one of the things was a reliance on recreational drugs. So that's when it clicked that this isn't just an All Blacks thing. This is going all the way through New Zealand rugby. The panel was... This is amazing. The panel consisted of two men who played rugby and then seven women. which
that's irrelevant. I don't see.
Is it Helen?
I don't see gender, JV.
Yeah. It is not irrelevant. One of them's a bloody paddleboarder. You know, at the end of her bio, and does paddleboarding, because this is relevant, massively relevant. How would they possibly know what goes on inside a rugby change room? It's obscene. It's absurd.
So the findings were that there's a cultural issue within New Zealand sport generally and in the All Blacks.
Of entitlement,
as you say.
Alcoholism.
Alcoholism and sexism.
Sexism, yeah.
But,
no,
yes,
but the
of
sexism
course there
is like if you describe it as a sex, as doing sex. because that's what he did.
But like, that's so obvious. If you get a group of 15 lads in a change room, shut the door, and then provide them with crates of ale, yeah, they're going to be relying on ale, and they're going to talk about women.
Well,
that's what they do.
Well, this is what I would say about this.
It makes me so angry.
Is actually...
Oh, that's what I said.
Report could be about any group of any males anywhere on Earth.
Building sites have a macho culture. Really? You know, that's what they said. They used the word macho culture. Just bear this in mind. What you're asking these guys to do is hit other people with their shoulders. Derek in Accounts doesn't do this because Derek in Accounts is a beta male. It's a very, very specific thing which you ask rugby players to do.
Like an international rugby player.
But even club rugby, even like lower down.
But I'm saying if I look like Sonny Bill Williams.
Oh my word.
Can you imagine being him for a day?
Yeah. And do you know why they've got a sense of entitlement? Because they're entitled. So it's Sonny Bill Williams. He's acting naturally. It's like tigers are aggressive. Yeah, they are. That's what they do. It's such a stupid report by stupid people. And do you know what the worst thing is? The conclusion just reads like it's some nonsense social science paper at the end of it.
Well, shall I read off the list of things that
That
are going to be addressed?
I can't wait.
These are going to be addressed. Inclusive leadership. Developing people. Nurturing well-being.
Go on.
Gender equity.
How can you get... I mean, you can't even split a rugby team 50-50.
For men and women.
You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it.
Proactive engagement.
Of what?
Scrums, maybe? Scrums.
Of things?
And... being accountable and independent.
Right, okay. So what they haven't done, and this is a serious point now, they've not looked at the socio-economic backgrounds of all these players, which they just tag labels onto. They also don't ask the question like, well, what would these individuals be doing if they weren't playing rugby? Would it be more constructive? Would it be less constructive? Does rugby maybe promote those qualities naturally anyway? They don't ask any of these things. They just talk nonsense because one is a paddle boarder, one works in HR, one is the council head of, you know, New Zealand legal stuff. It's just a pointless, awful report.
It's a good point, but from the news articles, which are only focusing on the negatives, we don't actually know what else is in there. But from what we've seen, it doesn't talk about any of the positive sides.
I think there was a bit from the woman in the cubicle said Aaron Smith was a great lover.
Very. Very. Yeah, I mean, she's not whinging that he's not macho enough, if anything.
But it's a good point that the number of benefits, and it always comes back to this, like the Alison Pollock thing. If you take away rugby, you also take away all of the benefits for the individuals and the teams and the wider community that rugby brings
to so many people. And what these people hate the most, they hate that rugby does create this macho culture, which in their mind is intrinsically negative. But actually it does produce good things. Leadership, bravery, courage, those sort of
discipline.
Things. Discipline. Discipline. Things which...
respect.
Respect, yeah. Teamwork.
Things which these idiots... just will never understand because they don't play the game. You know, if you don't play an organised sport, you don't appreciate these things.
Yes, we like to get naked. Yes, we like to drink.
Yes.
Yes, we get up to mischief. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
On that one about unintended consequences.
Let the women judge. That's what I say.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On the unintended consequences and things like that, let's just jump, because you kind of touched upon it a little bit there, Phil. Let's jump into the law variations at the scrum and the potential impact that they're having on the rugby. I'm not especially happy at the amount, the lack of scrum penalties when teams are dominant, the lack of contest. They brought in law variations to make you have to hook and have to put the ball in straight, and those aren't happening. Now, if one team is dominant, quite often it will collapse after the ball's been hooked, and then the ref will just say, play on, play on. I think it's nullifying the impact that props can have, and the problem with it is, and I actually reckon, and just from what you said earlier, JB, I reckon you'll be with me on this, one of the great things about rugby that everyone loves is it always has been traditionally for all sizes and shapes.
Mm.
And you're going to start losing that.
100%, mate, 100%. Eddie Jones put it very well. He said, the difference between rugby union and rugby league is in rugby league they've removed all competition for the ball, or all contests for the ball, I think he said. So scrummaging, lineouts, that sort of thing.
Rucking, mauling.
Yeah, all gone, except for maybe the one-man rip, and that's it.
Yeah, that's the only opportunity. And that is, if you watch rugby league, that is very, very rare.
Yeah.
Because it's all twos-up tackles.
Exactly. So I'm not a massive fan of these scrum variations. I understand people don't want to watch scrummaging, but there again, I understand that people need educating as well. If you don't like scrummaging, maybe this isn't the game for you. And we can't necessarily spread it to everyone. I mean, rugby league has tried to spread it to everyone and simultaneously spread it to no one. Now, that might be because their organisation is rubbish, or, you know, it could be something else. I don't know. It doesn't feel like the right way to me.
Let me read you the definition of a scrum in the World Rugby's own definition. The scrum is a method of restarting the game that involves a competition for possession between the two front rows who can hook for the ball when it is thrown down the middle of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There you go. Done.
Read that again.
The scrum is a method of restarting the game that involves a competition for possession between the two front rows who can hook for the ball when it's thrown down the middle of the tunnel.
Mm.
And now it's no longer thrown, or it no longer has to be thrown down
the
middle.
It can be rolled.
No, they've said, what the new law is, sorry Phil, didn't mean to talk over you. So the new law is the scrum half can stand towards their own team, but they must put the ball in straight.
Yeah.
To avoid it being chucked straight into the second row's feet, and it must be hooked. That's not happening.
Yep.
Neither of them happening, and they're not being penalised.
Yep.
And then the I understand the issue of, once the ball's been hooked and won, then if it collapses, just let the ball get out. I do get that. However, it means the unintended consequence can be, if you're getting pumped at the scrum, collapse it and you won't get penalised.
What would happen? And this is just me thinking now. This is going to sound ridiculous, it is. Let the packs engage, all right? Let the packs engage! Roll the ball in, okay? But, hang on, but only one side is allowed to strike for it.
Well, it's almost in that position anyway, because, so the scrum half can now align his left shoulder with the centre of the scrum. So he's feeding it to his hooker's feet, and the opposition's hooker, unless he's unbelievably flexible, won't have legs long enough to reach the ball. So you're almost,
actually,
so you're now almost in that position anyway.
What would happen as well if you just put the ball on the floor and form the scrum over the ball?
Hook!
And then all hell just breaks loose.
And everyone just swiping
for
it.
So you form the scrum over the ball, get rid of the scrum off completely. And then the referee, so you set bind whatever it is.
Like a tug of war.
Right, yeah,
go.
So you're ready to go. Then the ref just blows his whistle. Go! and then they've all they've both got a hook.
Yeah,
that could be. That actually sounds fairly reasonable. It would stop the crooked feed, and you could both hook for it.
Yeah. I'd like to see some trials and see how.
Well, the ref just how... the ref puts the ball in straight.
No. I just you like you put it on the floor. The ref lets them engage and tussle for a bit. Hook, and then goes for it. I like that idea.
So I understand your concerns here, Tim, because there is.
I don't want to see reset scrum after reset scrum. So I know it sounds like a yin to the yang, but
If it's not refereed correctly, then you completely depower the scrum.
Yeah,
and any team that gets a shove on. The opposition just collapses it. Brian, the ball's at the 8's feet is play on.
What was the tight head called today for Worcester, the black fella?
I can't remember the chap's name. Anyway, it's only his second game.
Yeah, the point I'm trying to make, it was glorious watching him being folded in two.
Yeah,
I loved it.
I loved it. There were scrum penalties in that, but there's been hardly any.
Yeah.
So, well, that's probably my point, that if it's refereed incorrectly, then teams can basically cheat and get away with it. Mm. If it's refereed correctly, and if the eight's holding at his feet, but it's going nowhere and it collapses, just play on. But if the eight's holding at his feet and the scrum is marching forward and it collapses, then it's a penalty. Yeah. And it's still
by
a penalty.
By Allo, by the way.
Yes, Allo.
Massive man.
Huge, isn't he?
He put in a few very nice hits as well.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say as well.
143 kgs.
He looks it as well.
143 kgs.
Amazing what Cooper Woolley was doing to it. No, Si McIntyre, actually.
Si McIntyre, yeah.
How many of Baye Allo can you deadlift, Phil?
One and a half
of him?
A bit more than one and a half. Wow. One and three quarters.
Well, if you ever meet him. what was I going to say about... Oh, yeah, so regarding scrums, one thing I do like the law of variation, meaning you can just take it out of the second row's feet. That's good.
Yeah.
So I think if it is your ball, you should get... if you win the ball, or if it's kind of on your side, you should have as much flexibility to do with it, whatever you want with it as possible, whether that be holding it at the 8's feet or, you know, anything. As long as that initial contest is still there...
It is a little bit of a slippery slope. And like in the past, I've said, we've got to be really careful about this duty of care thing, because you're going to take away some of the stuff we love to see, which is massive collisions. Maybe I think it has gone a little bit that way, but it isn't as far as I had feared. However, scrummaging, it will, if you're not careful, 10, 20 years' time, it could look much more like rugby.
It's not going to exist in 10, 20 years' time. I mean, the review panels in New Zealand rugby will make sure it doesn't bloody exist. It's too much.
But then we're going to get 15 6'1". We could basically get 15 George Norths.
Yeah, and not only that. So the scrum is important to keep it powerful, because it effectively knackers people out. And when people are knackered, they can't defend, right? So that is why it's important. You're right. You'll end up with... Worse than 15 George Norths. That's the good side of it. You might end up with 15 Joe Worsleys, and that isn't a joke. Because Joe Worsley, wonderful player, but why wouldn't you put like 8 of them in your pack? He's tall. You can lift. He can jump, and he can work. I mean, that's basically where you'd end up. Back to my scrum idea. I think I've nailed it.
Okay.
Right, so the ball is on the floor.
Yeah.
The two teams engage.
Form over the top of it.
Yeah. You're only allowed to strike for the ball, okay, when you've pushed over the ball a certain amount. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's got to be, so say if you, I don't know, say by past the hooker's shoulders, then the hooker may then strike.
Okay. Okay.
Or...
And the ref, is the ref going to call... Strike now or strike?
No, it's on. It's the team that goes forward. The team that goes forward, once the ball is past a certain point, they might strike. No, I've got it. The attacking team, the team that's been awarded the ball, is the team that's allowed to strike first. And as soon as they strike,
everyone can strike.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nailed it.
So are you going to run an experiment with Tok H in training this week?
I might do.
Now you're a coach, can you do...
Do what I want.
Can you do a game? Can you set up a game with no knock-on? So we can see it in action.
We do all sorts of crazy games in Tok H. It should be fine.
Would you encourage your scrum half to deliberately throw the ball at an opposing player who's in an offside position just to get a penalty?
I 100% agree with this, yes. 100%. I'd be delighted if that was my scrum half.
So, Calm Fotouli against Saracens. Pick the ball up from the back of a ruck. Scout Brits is in an offside position, but retreating back to his own side. Dives to the floor to get out of the way of the pass, which Calm Fotouli is about to throw. And it looks as if Calm Fotouli, instead of throwing at a normal height, followed Scout Brits down to the floor and threw it at about 2 inches off the ground just to win a pen.
Good.
So I have no problem if the players stood up walking back. If Scout Brits there hits the deck, I'm not sure what else he's supposed to
do. It can go both ways, can't it? So I think Calm Fotouli, he brilliant. Because there are other examples of players milking penalties, and this one's just a little bit more obvious. So I'm fine with it in principle. The application of the law is interesting because
other people do. So I'm going to encourage it. Yeah, absolutely. Of my players,
100%. Now the application of the law is interesting because I do believe it is within the power of the referee to say that is not in the spirit of the game, or brings the game in disrepute, or some silly thing like that.
Unsportsmanship.
Yeah, I'm sure that is actually a law.
Yeah, it can be penalised.
And there you go. I mean, that was in the referee's hands, actually. So, Calm Fotouli, he is absolutely in his rights to try it. And if he wins, more power to him. If he doesn't, he won't do it again.
Yeah, you're right. The referee do have... I think it would be actually nice to see a referee do exactly that.
Yeah.
And penalise unsportsmanlike behaviour. The penalty goes the other way.
And I tell you another thing which is really creeping in. Forget independent HIA panels and disciplinary panels, because that's just pandering to a certain crowd. How is this for a panel? The independent appealing panel. So every week games go to people like us and we look at it, and if we see players overly appealing for decisions...
They have to play Sale Jets on a Monday night.
Exactly. No quarter is given. No appeal process. We don't have to explain ourselves. We just there we go.
There might potentially be more attendance at a Sale Jets game than a Sale Sharks game.
Well, hey, if you can't get attendance with George North, Horn, and a Springbok and a Wallaby.
To be fair, if I were in the country last Monday and I knew that game was going on, I might have gone down.
I actually wanted to go down. Childcare. Typical.
It'd be quite entertaining.
Yeah, so to stop the appealing, because there's so much of it. It was so evident in the Worcester game, so much so that even Flats mentioned that everyone is appealing. They don't even know what they're appealing for. They're just doing it.
It's nothing that a few pens or a couple of yellow cards here and there wouldn't sort out in a week.
Independent panel.
Agreed. Yeah.
Independent, unaccountable panel.
Right. I'm going to just hop over some borders to the Pro 14.
Yeah.
South African team still getting pumped, but are really showing. I think they're winning a lot of fans in this for their attitude, and they will get better.
I hope so. I feel sorry for them because they've had no break. Just imagine being one of their players. No idea really what the future holds for you for a large part of the season.
Yeah.
You've finished your domestic season. Do you go on holiday? Do you carry on training?
Yeah.
Who are your teammates going to be? Do you have a job? What do you do? Then all of a sudden they're saying, you do have a job, but the catch is you've got to fly 8,000 miles every 2 weeks.
Yeah, and the two South African teams have had possibly the hardest start they could have done.
Mm.
So Cheetahs played Ulster in the first weeks. Southern Kings travelled to Scarlets, who were reigning champions. And then Southern Kings travelled to Connacht, and the Cheetahs travelled to Munster. So they've had they have lost 4 out of 4. They've had 4 of the hardest games they could have had.
They not a home game yet, have they?
No. They're doing like a European leg, whatever you want to call
it. Okay. And how long is that going to last for? 3 weeks? That's usually what they go for, I think.
It's normally what they kind of do in Super Rugby, yeah. I'm not actually sure. Let's have a look at the next fixtures.
I think one of them might have Zebra at home. Or is it Zebra away? Anyway, one of them's got Zebra, so they're probably, hopefully, they can chalk up a win.
It's almost worth them chipping in together. And this isn't a joke. Actually chipping in on buying themselves some facility between the two of them somewhere in the UK. Because they're always going to be here. Somewhere close to an airport.
They may have already done
such. Yeah, they want to be able to use consistent training facilities, don't they?
Or, I guess you could use... forget it, this is a boring chat. Carry on.
Wow.
No, actually, I will carry on now, Tim.
No,
I will. They should use the facilities of the teams not in their conference. There you go. Because there's always going to be someone nearby who's not in your conference.
That's a fair point.
There you go.
Yeah.
Connacht season finally up and running.
Good.
Yeah. Good to see.
Yeah.
Edinburgh, Richard Cockerell. Although I did love, well, firstly, a couple of things. Great to see Robbie Frewin playing a whole game.
Yeah. Here, here.
And looking powerful and strong and scoring a great try in the 75th minute. Richard Cockerell, 2 from 2. He was quoted after the game. Good result. 5 points, but I'm disappointed. We played poorly, but at least we did enough to win the game. Credit to the players on that, but we're a better side than the way we played, and I'm disappointed. I love Cockers.
I was just thinking how furious he must have been when Edinburgh called him and said, Cockers, look, we've got your centre, potentially world class. He might have a few injury concerns.
He's a big he's a big boy, powerful runner.
Yes, I'm interested. I'm Robbie Frewin, no!
So he's played his one game of this year.
I definitely know which centre he'd rather have right now.
Yeah. Two Edinburgh players, we mentioned them before on the podcast, but two young lads, young Scottish lads, with two of the best names in rugby.
Hidalgo Klein?
No. Blair Kinghorn,
such a Scottish name.
And Magnus Bradbury.
I thought Blair Kinghorn was a male adult entertainer.
Kinghorn. Yes.
And two quality players as well.
Yeah.
I actually watched in Pro 12. I watched Glasgow. I'm going to watch
Pro
Glasgow.
14, Guinness Pro 14.
Whatever. I'm going to watch Glasgow for the rest of the season now.
Glasgow.
I'm going to try and stay interested in Pro 14.
Glasgow who comfortably beat Ospreys.
Yeah.
So Rhys Patchell is settling into Scarlets, and Wayne Pivac has said, and I quote, Rhys Patchell,
I've heard this,
Wales' answer to Beauden Barrett.
Well, he is a Pro 12 champion.
I think it's a careless choice to compare anyone to Beauden Barrett. It's
it is, isn't it?
Not a smart thing to do comparison wise. Just say he can be Wales' number one.
Yes.
Not he can be Beauden Barrett.
That's an interesting question, isn't it? Is Priestland really going to come back from the dead and be Wales' number one?
Surely not.
What if he does?
Patchell's jumped up ahead of Sam Davies in the pecking order. It'd be interesting to see where he sits. Especially with we haven't even mentioned Dan Bigger going to Northampton next year. That was confirmed. We talked about it a long time ago.
I just think it's terrible business all around this. I don't know why, but Dan Bigger doesn't seem to be the Dan Bigger you see for Wales when he plays for Ospreys. I mean, too often you just see rubbish performances. I don't know why, you just do.
Well, he doesn't play that much for one reason.
Yep. For Wales, I think he is magnificent. On occasions, he handles pressure well. But is he going to fit into Saints? I mean, what is it that they were hoping that they were buying? I don't really understand. Are they looking for a direct replacement for
Myler.
Stephen Myler?
That's a good point, actually. He's pretty closest to Stephen Myler, isn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly. He's like the ultimate version of Stephen Myler.
Yeah.
And also they've got
Piers Francis.
I want to see. Yeah. Piers Francis. Now, what does the future hold for him then? Is he not going to be the future 10? Because that's what I was thinking. But maybe he'll be the future 12.
And Malinder.
Malinder.
Fullback.
Really? Fullback. What, this season?
I reckon that's where he'll end up.
Is he fast enough?
He's got such a good all-round game.
He's brilliant. I see him as a centre.
I do as well.
12, yeah.
I see him as the best centre in the country.
I think he could be. Mm. I'm talking 3-4 years. Not anytime soon.
I think he needs to move club. I mean, it's going to be difficult whilst your dad's head coach, but I think he'd do better away from Northampton.
And then Northampton have also got the young Grayson, haven't they?
They have got a young Grayson. Now, he was involved this week. I think he's on the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah.
James Grayson was on the bench.
Yeah.
Did he come on?
No.
But he's obviously got decent enough...
He may have done right at the end.
Do you know...
Decent enough heritage, hasn't he?
I'll talk about another ex-pro's son coming through the ranks.
Did we try and do a legacy 15 at one point?
More 15s.
I think we have.
No, we have tried to do one, but the point is, there's quite a few because we've got George Ford when Mike was still around.
At the same club.
At the same club, there was loads. Like Sam Olver is not at the same club, but his dad was an England international. John Olver, the hooker, and Bath
He did all right today, young Oliver.
Bath and Northampton. No, was it? No, just Northampton. John Oliver. Yeah, Sam Oliver.
Well,
did all right.
I think his name's Cameron. Cameron Redpath, I want to say.
Yes. Cameron Redpath.
The reports
for Sale Jets.
Yeah, the reports I've heard about this kid are quite extraordinary. But I've never seen him play, so you know, watch his space. But apparently very, very good young player.
Northampton Saints versus Leicester Tiger. All four of the fly halves involved are coaches' sons. As in, not necessarily coaches of that team.
Ford, Grayson, Malinder and Ford, yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. That's good.
That's
good
a great fact. We need to reinstate the fact button.
Yeah.
I'll email it to you so we can...
install it. Yeah. I'll screw it in.
Fact.
Do you want to do pick of the week or is there anything else to dissect from various games of rugby?
Just one brief thing. The France 2023 bid could be in tatters, potentially. Well, I don't know, but...
Is this because...
It's been rocked by a Bernard Laporte scandal.
Scandal, isn't he...
So
could be arrested or something silly.
Well, so they're investigating it. And so there's, I'm not saying whether this has happened or not, but what's thought to have potentially happened is, is it Mohamed Altrad? Mohamed?
Morad.
Morad Altrad.
Morad Altrad.
No, hang on, that's Morad Boujlal.
Boujlal. Whichever. Altrad. Or Mo and Altrad. Or whatever his name is.
Altrad does sound like an evil layer for a Bond villain.
Yeah.
Moed Altrad.
Moed Altrad, there you go.
Such an evil name.
He owns Montpellier, and his construction company, of which I don't know the name, is France.
Altrad.
Oh, yeah, Altrad, there you go. It's France's shirt sponsor.
Yep.
Now, the accusation is that Bernard Laporte was pressured by Altrad and then tried to influence the French Rugby Appeals Board to reduce... or in some cases, overturn bans against Montpellier players.
What?
It's so French.
What are they thinking?
It is so French. I mean, yeah, what are they thinking exactly? I mean, if you own a club, your number one concern isn't the players you have. It isn't even, believe it or not, the results that you get. It is the integrity of the sport and the league. Because if your sport has no integrity and your league is a joke, then no one's going to watch because it isn't worth watching.
Yep. Like the accusations, and it was never ever brought to bear, so we don't know what the facts are.
I'm happy to speculate.
But the fact that Saracens and Bath were mentioned in light of salary cap,
yeah,
that has dogged them for a while. Every time there's any sort of salary cap conversation surrounding Bath or Saracens, fans just go, "Oh well, they're cheats, aren't they?"
Yeah, you know, and they actually should be. I mean, all Premiership clubs should be. Trying to be as strict on this as they possibly can because it's for the good of the sport. The integrity of the competition trumps everything else. France over.
Agreed.
So we think he's guilty. Is that what you're saying?
let's get on to next week. Looking at the fixtures. So Phil, if you run us through the fixtures and then we can pick out our game of the week for our Leo Vegas pick of the week.
So I'll very quickly mention the Pro 12 fixtures. Pro 14 even, sorry. I'm reading Pro 14 and I'm still saying Pro 12. So, Dragons host Connacht. Connacht win.
Big Gav to not get off to a win yet.
Yeah, so apparently, I think Dragons are going to be taken over by someone who owns Just Eat or Hungry House or something. There you go.
Interesting. The Just Eat Dragons.
Okay.
Then Edinburgh host Treviso, home win. Yeah. Then the game of Friday night will be Ulster hosting Scarlets.
Ooh, tasty.
Which I am a little bit nervous about, in all honesty.
That's a good one.
I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. What's on in the Premiership?
So, well, Scarlets, they're playing a really nice brand of rugby. They've basically carried on from where they were last year. So I'm a bit nervous about that one.
Okay.
Then
who do you think? Do you still think you're Pride Ulsterman?
But Scarlets went to Leinster last year, didn't they? Yeah. In the semi final. Gimme Scarlets in a great game.
Yeah. Are they Scarlets or sorry, what do you say?
At the Kingspan.
Don't know.
Then Saturday. So the early kickoff is Southern Kings hosting Leinster. So Leinster travel to...
Ah, okay. So they're not doing 3 weeks.
I assume Leinster are travelling to Port Elizabeth. See if it says... Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium. Yep.
Lads on tour.
Then Ospreys host Munster, which should be a good game, but give me Munster away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Cardiff host Glasgow. Give me Glasgow.
I'm with you.
100% Glasgow, yeah.
And then on the Sunday, Cheetahs host Zebre.
Oh, that's interesting.
Home win?
Don't know. I might actually watch that because it'll be a very interesting... It'll be interesting to gauge where... Well, so Zebre allegedly are meant to be a lot better this year. I've yet to actually see them.
Yeah.
And Cheetahs have lost both their games. It'd be very interesting to see like where the level is.
Yeah. We will find out in this game, definitely. Mm. And Zebre will have a few South Africans going home.
Yep.
So that's Pro 14. Premiership.
Just read out the fixtures first.
So the fixtures...
We've got the Rugby Championship as well.
We do have the Rugby Championship as well. But fixtures for the Avicii. Mm-hmm. Northampton Bath. Worcester Exeter. Sharks London Irish.
Friday night.
That's Friday. Then Saturday, Leicester, Gloucester. And the big game, 10 p.m. UK time kickoff, Newcastle Saracens.
What a game.
Then on Sunday, Wasps, Quins.
Well, let's break two games down, okay? We'll break down. I think the biggest game of the week is going to be...
Northampton Bath?
I was going to say Leicester, Gloucester, actually. In terms of fan bases and stuff.
Yeah.
Hotly contested. And we have to do Saracens Northampton.
Saracens Newcastle.
Sorry, Newcastle. What an idiot.
Yeah.
So, shall we do... Well, Tim, are you okay with that?
Yeah, crack on.
Right. Hold there, then.
Do you think Bath... Northampton at home after that result and Bath...
Fine. Flying.
Yeah, done.
Wait there, Tim. We've got some production.
Oh, yeah, of course we do. So...
Oh, no, I've not turned up my sound.
Yes, our friends at Leo Vegas, leovegas.com have...
They're paying money for that level of production.
They are. This is our Leo Vegas pick of the week. They're the place you need to go if you want to just make your game day even more interesting. They love their rugby. And they've got some great offers for you. So what you need to do is get on there and maybe have a little flutter. I couldn't remember what the word was. On the
gamble.
Rugby.
A little gamble.
Friday night, 7:45 p.m. kickoff at Franklin's Gardens. Northampton will be 6 days after they were there smashing Leicester. But this time they face Bath, a resurgent Bath, who are 2-2 and have just beaten Saracens, but are back on the road where they do not perform nearly as well.
Except
Bath.
For in Welford Road.
Mm.
Goodness me.
Todd Blackadder's got something going there, hasn't he?
He has. And also, Mattson's leaving.
Has left.
So good luck to him for whatever it is, because it doesn't sound like it's one of those things that you necessarily wanted to do. Bath, you can't even say Bath have the momentum, because it was such a good win for Northampton that you kind of have to think that they're going to come into this very confident too, and they're at home, and they played so well.
But I think just how poorly Leicester have played in both games takes the shine off that Northampton performance.
I would, and there's two big things wrong with Leicester. One, their line-out didn't function.
Yep.
There's a lot of poor line-outs actually this season so far.
Well, there's a lot of good line-out defence.
Yeah, and secondly, they don't have or didn't have Francois Lowe, Talupe Faletau, or maybe Sam Underhill. This could be his first game. They don't have guys like that busting holes in the defence to give you any momentum, and I think it'll be a completely different case.
So when Northampton were really good, when they won the Premiership and maybe a year after that, what I really liked about them is how big they were and how physical that they could get. I think they can still do that, because they've got huge ball carriers. I mean, Burrell's pretty big. North is pretty big when he wants to be. And their pack is not full of superstars, but it is pretty abrasive. Having said that, I mean, I can almost imagine there have been a Northampton-style collapse like there was many a time last year. They'd win one and then throw the next two away. I simply don't know. I mean, this is terrible if you want to place a bet with Leo Vegas. But I just simply don't know. I don't know. And also, you know, the Bath squad that they're putting out, Max Clark, how much do you know about Max Clark to really, you know, get into how good he is?
Young centre who has the opportunity to play for England or Wales because of his mother and father. Besides that, and I know he scored two tries.
Wonderful hair. There's a lot of wonderful hair in the Premier in the Avicii, isn't there?
Good hair, good runner.
Well,
defence. Well, yeah.
Good hair.
Interesting hair.
Interesting and lush hair.
Yeah, good runner. His defence has been very good. Other than that, other than what I've seen in the last 2 weeks, I don't know very much at all.
So, I think up front, Northampton can definitely get the squeeze on because they've got pretty much an international front row. They've got the England captain, and they are surrounded by front row talent. They seem to do that very, very well. Courtney Laws played pretty well.
He played very well.
You look at the Bath front row, you've got Abano, you've got Dunn, and who was the other guy that they were operating with? I can't remember now.
Peronisi.
Yeah, who's come back from Bristol. You've got to expect that Northampton can get at least some sort of upper hand there.
Yeah.
Northampton will win at home.
Northampton
Bath
3.
Bath aren't good on the road. They did win at Leicester. That was a big result for them.
Northampton by 3, I think.
I think it'll be close. I think Northampton will edge it.
Give me Bath.
I think that Bath back row could make the difference.
And that Bath back line, so Rocco has been grabbing the headlines, but if Rocco is marked out of the game and JJ or Anthony Watson
get
half a yard.
Right, I'm changing in Bath. Bath are going to win.
Give me Bath.
Bath.
Mm. Do you know what's amazing about this Bath back line? How dangerous it still is, but how dangerous it was, because you used to be also able to include, at one point, a Bendonen and Ford and Eastmond.
Yeah.
I mean, how did they not... how did they not just win the Premiership, the European Cup, the UEFA Cup, the Champions League? I just don't know.
Don't forget who they also included.
Go on.
Sam Burgess.
Biggs. Yeah, they could have won the NRL. They could have won everything, but they didn't.
If only he was playing as a number six.
And maybe this is why they're better, because they have less of these sort of guys.
There you go. Well, one of us is going to be smug, or two of us are going to be smug come 10 o'clock Friday night, because Phil and me are saying saying Bath.
Oh, you're so wrong. You're so wrong on that, Tim. There's only going to be two people smug, and those two people will be in Philadelphia on Sunday morning, regardless of what the results are, mate.
Worcester are going to get beaten by the champions at home.
Agreed.
On Friday night.
100%. Although, you haven't actually mentioned the Worcester game. Much improved performance by Worcester. Fair play, they dug deep.
I think part of that was just how greasy it was. The weather was not pretty, and there were so many drop balls, particularly in that first half.
Yeah, Johnny Orr did very well, though.
He did really well. He looked quite dangerous, and Ben Teo carries, smashing people out of the way.
Oh, I've got to mention Ali Eakin. Nick Mullins was not on BT Sport this weekend. He was having a well-earned weekend off. He had one weekend on. So he's got to have a break.
What is he, a fireman?
And so Ali Eakin was kind of almost a Mullinisms. Mullins.
Stop. No.
Ellis Genge smashed Dylan Hartley. Ellis Genge ran into Dylan Hartley and knocked him backwards onto the deck. And Ali Eakin said, he's like a baby...
Rhinoceros with a
tranquilizer dart up his backside, or with a dart up his backside.
Do you know why I know that isn't a Mullinism?
Why is that?
Because Nick Mullins, if I'm right, and I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm
wrong. I don't mean Nick Mullins has said that before.
No, but I'll tell you why it's not. He will not use animal analogies, because that was the territory of the late Bill McLaren. So he always tries to avoid animals.
He did come up with... a parrot digging for a cuttlefish or something like that.
And he did come up with a giraffe something, didn't he, recently?
Oh, there you go.
Someone was like a giraffe. Maybe it was for out of respect for a couple of years of Bill McLaren. Yeah. And then on the second anniversary...
Slippery boiled egg is by far the best.
Rolling
ball of barbed wire, sonotti.
Yeah. And a stocky little dumper truck.
Yes, for Harry Thacker. In fact, we could almost have a game. We can get...
True or false?
No. I'll get Nick... Oh, yeah, true or false, is it something Nick Mullins said? Equally, we could get Nick Mullins...
Like a child chased with a father, by a father with a slipper.
We could get Nick Mullins to think of a player give a description and we have to guess who he's describing.
Oh, that's a good game, actually.
We might be able to do that in Philly.
Yeah, very good.
Watch this space.
Right, Sail Sharks will get their first win of the season at home to London Irish.
No.
Yes, they will.
Really?
Yeah, they will.
I say no, they won't.
You're backing against your beloved Sail.
They're not my beloved Sail. They're just the nearest club.
But you backed them every single game last year, including Toulon away, Saracens away.
Do you know what? This is going to be tight, I feel.
I think you're probably right in that.
I don't think it will be. I think Sail by 12.
If Sail can't sort out their line out, give me Irish by 10. If Sail sort out their line out, Sail by 5.
Yeah, they will sort out their line out because they'll simply change the hooker. Mind you, does Bryn Evans pass his concussion protocol? That is the bigger question, because I think they win a lot more ball with Bryn Evans.
What do you reckon for the game? You're going for...
I will go Sail. I'll go Sail by 5.
Okay.
On to Saturday, and we have 3 p.m. kickoff, Leicester versus Gloucester. I'll be working at this one, which is why I'm not in Philadelphia.
Leicester at Gloucester or Gloucester at Leicester?
Leicester home to Gloucester. Which will be the third week in a row I've done Matt O'Connor.
Matt must be pretty close, though.
Yeah, we, you know.
He's getting angrier and angrier because his team are getting worse and worse.
No, you get this with all Premiership coaches, but Matt O'Connor, Leicester have got... They let go a very honest and... I can't think of the right word. A very honest and a very open guy in Richard Cockerell. Matt O'Connor is much the same.
Is he?
He calls a spade a spade. Doesn't make any excuses.
Well, he is in a pretty tough situation with you interrogating him every week.
Yeah.
Do you know who I think Gloucester missed this weekend? I think they missed...
Manu Tuilagi?
Gloucester.
Oh, Gloucester.
Johnny May.
Yes,
yeah.
They definitely missed Johnny
Ben
May.
Morgan.
Mark Atkinson.
Sausage legs.
I think he does create a lot of stuff for them. That said, surely Leicester got a bounce back, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've got to.
Leicester to get their first win.
No, do you know who Leicester are missing? They're missing a guy like Ludlow, who plays for Gloucester. That guy just never stops fighting, never stops carrying, just is a machine. He's destined for great things. And that's kind of what Leicester just don't have.
I thought Brendan O'Connor was the next big thing.
Brendan O'Connor was the next big thing. That was last season, all he's the next big thing. And then they haven't played, I'm sure they'll start Mike Williams.
Yeah, I mean, the stats do actually back me up on Brendan O'Connor. He had a fantastic season last year.
No, I do. I would say that their second rows, I'm not convinced by.
Yeah.
Kitchener was looking like he was on that trajectory of looking like he was really good. He's now nowhere. You wouldn't consider him anywhere near England now.
No. So Brad Thorne said about Kitchener, he said, this is the sort of guy who would play for the All Blacks, but you just don't appreciate his likes here, basically. And I wonder if this team with O'Connor and Kitchener and these sort of slightly more mobile guys are built for a different job to the job O'Connor has in mind for them. So that's the only thing I can really think of.
Leicester, I think, will win at home.
Yeah, give me Leicester, but not by much.
Give them... God, it's tight, isn't it?
Come on.
Sorry, Gloucester, I've got to think of these things.
Leicester,
not good on the road.
Well, they've got 100% loss record so far. I'm going to go for Leicester then.
Yeah.
And then Newcastle Saracens. I'll be watching this at 10 p.m. You'll be watching this at 5 p.m.
Yeah, lads.
Local time.
It's going to be a Saracens win, isn't it?
So, Newcastle are currently unbeaten, 2 from 2, albeit no one really won in that second game against Sale.
Rugby lost.
Rugby lost. Everyone lost.
There were no winners.
Well, the many thousands of people who didn't bother going to the game.
Do you know what? I just find it hilarious. Like, Steve Diamond washes his hands of the lineouts. Not my problem. And then someone asked him about the attendance. Oh, well, it's the infrastructure. Is there any problem that Steve Diamond has either caused or takes any credit for whatsoever?
Well, no.
Or takes responsibility for. So,
he'll take credit for when things go well.
Credit, not a problem.
He is not accountable in any way if it goes wrong.
I mean, that's basically what he said on BT Sport. He's like, when I asked about Cam Neill, he's like, oh, I'm completely responsible for our past successes, but this future failure is not my fault.
I think Saracens will win this. I had one eye on some of the Saracens players' Instagram accounts.
Oh,
this afternoon, Sunday afternoon,
going,
and they were
Newcastle
boarding a plane.
As we record now, Newcastle are in the have already arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Saracens
are in
traveling
the air
tomorrow, Monday.
Well, so there was a picture of 3 hours ago of them actually on a plane.
Oh right,
so they will land. Yeah, probably early hours of Monday morning.
Yeah.
But they're en route.
I've got a feeling. Now, is the pitch synthetic at Tesla Energy or whatever it's called?
I'd probably assume so.
It wouldn't matter.
Yeah,
because
they both
play on it.
Well, that's the point. I don't think it is. I think it's a football field, isn't it? I think it's an actual soccer pitch.
So it is. It's Philadelphia United.
So I think it's grass, which is going to throw them all completely.
they do play on grass every other week,
and they probably train on it too. To be fair,
yeah.
I'm gonna go Newcastle.
Philadelphia.
By the way, Mario Todd is gonna be the biggest thing ever there, I'd say.
Chris Wiles is throwing the first pitch at the Philadelphia.
Is he?
The baseball.
That's incredible.
Whatever the baseball team is.
Good lad.
Philadelphia A's? No.
No.
That's Oakland A's.
No, hang on. Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
I don't know now. How embarrassing.
Philadelphia.
The Flyers is ice hockey, isn't it? Philadelphia. What on earth? Don't know.
Philadelphia Phillies.
No. Philadelphia Phillies.
Is that those horses? Phillies. A filly is a horse. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Professional baseball.
Right. Let's go back to the rugby.
Or what New Zealand rugby players call women.
The majority of the panel judging New Zealand rugby. Right, sorry, Saracens 20 points.
Yeah, give me Saracens by two or three scores.
Does Chris Wiles start? Just out of principle.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably does. Yeah.
What about Titi Lamassetti?
Titi Lamassetti.
He has to start. Yeah. They're going to roll out all their Americans. All
and DTH Van der Merwe, Canadian.
It's a stretch, isn't it? It's a stretch, but yeah, we'll go with it. Didn't they had Todd? They had Todd Clever there.
They had Todd Clever.
Yeah, not anymore.
They must bring him back for one game.
Yeah. Hayden Smith, bring him back.
Yeah, why
that's
not?
That's five.
Dan Lyle,
get him on.
Signed up.
I think he's part of the commentary team.
He must
actually.
Be, mustn't he? If Alex Corbusier is not out there in some rapping or doing something,
NBC are, I think, leading the.
He's doing the halftime show.
Very good. Excellent. Now. Me and Phil will be in Manhattan for two nights, so if you are going to the game and want to meet up for a drink, send us a tweet. And then
At Rugby Podcast.
Or...
They're also on Grindr.
Yeah, the Grindr is also a great place to find us. If not, we'll be in Philly for the Saturday, and then Sunday is American Sports Day. I'm going to do nothing but drink ale and watch American sports. That's it. That's what I'm going to do.
We've been advised by someone on Facebook that there is a great sports bar not far from
the stadium,
the Philadelphia Eagles stadium.
Yeah, so I've looked into this and it is, have you seen it?
I've not, no.
Oh my word, it is truly enormous.
He advises to get there early on the Sunday.
But the problem being with it is it might be like going to Cardiff and drinking in walkabouts.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean? Now, I don't know if, I mean, just check this place out. It's absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I've not seen something so big dedicated to sport ever. Well, bar wise, stadiums obviously.
Yeah.
It is huge. But whether we want to do that or not, I don't know. But there's so much sport on that I intend on doing nothing. Like we did in New York, that was ideal.
That was good.
That was ideal.
It was a slightly late start in New York. We're a little bit hungover.
Mm.
Xfinity Live.
Mate, just
Jason Walker. Thank you. He's given us quite a few tips. Thank you, Jason.
Xfinity.
Good. Yeah, you guys have fun, yeah.
Tim, you're going to a live game as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yours is just as good, mate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to go to...
I'm going to go and... Oh, man, you get a good curry in Leicester.
They are, Phil.
Ooh, wow.
Do you want to say that, Tim?
Yeah, good. Yeah, cheers. Great.
Oh, and there's more as Affinity Live. It's a bloody campus.
Yeah. Sure.
Look at that. Oh, look at all those big screens.
Wow.
Yeah. Excellent.
Great.
What are we going to do for a podcast next week, boys? Do we even know?
Yeah.
Are we going to phone in?
Yes.
Because it'll be morning-ish, won't it?
We could phone in on Sunday morning ahead of the Wasps-Quins game.
Should we try and do it live from Zfinity Live?
Do it live. Yeah.
We could probably...
The sound is not going to be pretty.
Well, we could do it on our phones.
Yeah, a lot of background noise.
Oh, we'll work it out. This isn't for the public consensus.
Now, the point is we know how messed up the first weekend of the season was. Hopefully this has been a lot better, and it's only getting better because we're going to have exclusive stuff from Philadelphia, maybe with a little game that Nick Mullins could curate, and much more besides. Yeah, thank you for listening. Find us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast, on Instagram, on Facebook, where you can see the video of this podcast, or most of it.
Sort of.
Kind of. and other than that, nice one from JB, nice one Phil.
Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you, Tim.
And let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Amen.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.